Shalom. We're continuing the second half of centered here. We're continuing in the second half of paragraph 36 in Rav Kook's commentary in Einayan Masechet Shabbat. And what we're going to talk about, continuing the idea of the advantage of hidden things, the advantage of not knowing everything. And this is something which maybe speaks to postmodern man. Maybe modern man might have had that illusion that we can understand everything. Postmodern man knows that, you know, Baruch Hashem, with all the great advances in sciences, we still don't have a solution to the common cold, not to mention cancer. And by the way, there was this good doctor in Shar Binyamin, Dr. Applebaum, Zichrono Livracha. He passed away suddenly at a young age. And what I liked about him was that he was from, I think, Argentina, from the old school. And he was like the doctors that I grew up with in America. That was very decisive. You have this problem, you take this medicine, and so on. And that's the way we grew up. I personally don't like the doctors, the more modern doctors that, you know, it sounds like, oh, maybe let's try this, and we'll try that, and we'll try this, because I think psychologically, you know, the placebo is also important, you know, to think that it's going to work is on the other hand, for humility, the idea of it's more accurate and it's more humble to realize that we don't know everything. And what we're going to see today is a new aspect on that. We'll do the Gemara again. If you remember, we spoke about how there is an apparent contradiction in Shlomo HaMelech, in the book of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, where he apparently contradicts himself. He contradicts David HaMelech, where David, his father David, said, Lo hametim yalleluya, dead people can't praise God, which infers that there's an advantage in being alive. On the other hand, Shlomo says, no, there's an advantage, Davkin being dead. And then he himself comes back and he says, but there's also an advantage in being alive. Which obviously infers that there's an advantage to being alive and an advantage in being in the world to come. Let's see the Gemara. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Hadikamar David lo hametim yalluya, hachi kamar. When David praised the living, because only living people can praise God, la'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvot kodem shiyamut, because only a living person can learn Torah, can observe the mitzvot. Shekivan shemet batel mina Torah mina mitzvot, ve'en la kadosh baruch hu shevach bo. Once a person dies, there is no more learning Torah, there's no more observing mitzvot. Just like the angels aren't obligated to mitzvot because they have no free will. They can't fall. They don't have a yetzer hara. They don't have a negative drives. Vahainu de'amar. Rabbi Yochanan. May dichtiv b'meitim chofshi. That the dead people are free. That once a person dies, they are free from observing the Torah and mitzvot. Now, this is an interesting terminology, and that's what we're going to discuss tonight.
It's a secular thing to say.
Yeah. What is it? What, it's good to be free, right? We all want to be free. Especially growing up in the 60s, especially growing up in America, everybody wants to be free and liberal and freedom of this and that. Here it's telling us that it is a negative thing to be free from the mitzvot. Now, freedom seems like a positive thing. What does it mean to be, and what does that have to do with the idea of dying and being alive? So a quick, very quick summary of what we saw on the first half of the paragraph last time. Where Rav Kook talks about, based on the Ramchal, based on the Zohar, the advantage of this world as opposed to the next world. And we explained that God had to create two different worlds for two opposing and contradicting types of pleasure. God, our loving Father, wants to give us pleasure, but there are two opposite types of pleasure. One is the pleasure of being with God, who is the epitome of perfection. If you believe in a monotheistic God, that is the definition, that he is perfect. So to be with someone perfect, I gave the example of when I was recording my record and my disc, and I brought in Avi Singoldo, the best guitarist in the country, and I was just in awe of his greatness. That's the pleasure of being with perfection. The problem with that, and that's why God had to create a second world, this world, is because when you are with perfection, you have no free will. You can't be like God. You can be with God, but when God is too obvious, too apparent, you can't, you just want to sit back and enjoy. You want to learn, you know, give me the answers, give me the truth. And that's why God created this world, the Olam, from the word Laha'alim, where God hid himself in order to enable us to have free will. In other words, to be like God, right? And Dafka, I had this come up last week. I remembered, I think I mentioned the Gra. I had an opportunity to implement it. The Gra was lying on his deathbed, and he was crying. And his students asked him, you know, you're such a great tzaddik. You're going straight to the world to come. You're going to paradise. Why are you crying? And the Vilna Gaon answered, that's the Gra, that's the Vilna Gaon. He answered that because in the world to come, with all the great pleasure of being with God, the great pleasure that I could take a half a grush and buy a candy and make a child happy, there's no such pleasure in the world to come. Because in the world to come, nothing is missing. There are no hungry children. There's no candy. There's no possibility for me to be a giver in the world to come, because God is giving everything. In this world, God hides himself and enables me to be like God, which is also a pretty good pleasure, right? Last week I was in the doctor's office, and it was before Shabbat. I was waiting. It was a tour, as usual. And, you know, I had a sefer to learn, but I was very thirsty. And I went down to buy something to drink. And it was kind of Shabbat. I figured I'd buy some candy for the kids. They have these kosher gelatin in Yerushalayim. So I bought. And I came upstairs. I saw this little girl. Children, they hate waiting for the doctor. They probably hate doctors also, but waiting for a doctor is even worse. So I remember the Vilna Gaon, and I opened my bag of candy, and I offered her one of the jellies, and she was in seventh heaven. And why did I remember? Because I remember the Vilna Gaon, and I felt so good. And, you know, obviously these are things that we do all the time, right? When you volunteer, when you help, when you arrange a shiur, when you serve on the mosque route, when you help your wife, you help your kids, everyone, you know. This is a pleasure of being like God. Now, this is the advantage of this world. In this world where we're not with perfection, we are in the process of hishtalmut, of improving. And that is the type of pleasure. That's what Rav Kook spoke about last time. The fact that in this world, again, what is the advantage of being alive rather than in the world to come, being dead in the world to come? The world to come is perfect. But in this world, we have the pleasure of constant and eternal improvement. And we spoke about ve'erastich li le'olam, that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the lover, the man and the woman in Shir HaShirim, who, as opposed to our expectations, they never get married. They don't ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. And that's the idea, that there is a power in erusin, in being engaged, where your love is growing and growing and growing, and you can't consummate it. You can't express it. You can't touch her. And that is a very, very special time in a man woman relationship. And that's our relationship with God, that it's constantly growing and growing and growing and growing. Rak la'agia, lo la'agia rak li'shof. There's a song like that. You never get there. Okay, that's what we spoke about last time. Now, what we're going to do today is a totally different direction. In other words, the beauty that we spoke about last time is the fact that there is this constant climbing, which is an important issue. But there's another aspect. Omnam, ot yitaron yesh lemidata italut al midata havaya. Another advantage in being in the world of improvement. The idea of being able to improve over your present situation, b'matzav nichbadu meule, even greater than being in the ideal paradise, even greater in the world to come. Why? Why is it? What's the advantage? Ha'italut hi davar she'ole u'mosif. When you're on this road to improvement, you're constantly adding. Hinei I efshar lo la'adam liten bekerbo tziur amiti lemahut ha'yitaron sheyavo elav haprat. U'mikol sheken ha'klal kulo shu mitztarev meyichidim ha'pratim kach shu holech u'mitale. There is no way an individual or a group can imagine what the next step is going to be. And this is a very beautiful concept, the not knowing the ideal. Because when you know the ideal, you have a handle on it. Even if you're not there yet, you can imagine it. But when the ideal is so great that you can't even imagine it, that's even greater. Where you know that there's Ayin lo rata Elokim zulatecha, Yaseh lemechakelo. Chazal say that the world to come is such a greatness that we can't even imagine it. So that is another advantage of the hidden. Ha'aliyah vo safata ma'ala yichula liyot kol kach nizgava ad she'i afshar gam letzayir b'seichel ha'adam et yirkat erka. The next stage is hidden in a way that we can't even imagine how great it is. It's greater than anything that we can imagine. V'imkein I afshar klal she'iye sham ba'omek tshukat ha'italut et tachlit tshukotav. You can't even take your greatest pleasure. And if you take that great pleasure, just double it. Imagine how that could. But when you can't even double it, right? It's more than doubling, more than tripling, more than, that is that hidden pleasure is a very, very beautiful pleasure. Kevan she'i efshar lo litzayir oto ha'omek ha'gadol v'nizgav. It's sort of like there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. Adaf Kufmem Amud Bet, where Rav Chisda explains to his daughters before their wedding night what to do and what not to do. And were not for the young age of some of the participants, I would read the Gemara for it, but the Mamash goes into very, very explicit details. I'll just give you the general direction. The general direction that he teaches his daughters, Rashi, by the way, Rav Chisda also speaks in metaphors, and I really wouldn't understand what he's talking about were it not for Rashi's explanation. So if you want to understand, look in Rashi. Where basically he's telling the woman that part of the beauty of love is to play hard to get. And to play hard to get is not to show everything that you have. And that's why it's interesting that even when the Rambam says that a man, when his wife is tahura, when she's pure, is allowed to do anything and everything with his wife, there still is one place that he's not allowed to see. And the idea is, and that's what Rav Chisda is teaching his daughters, that it's always good to have something hidden. Never think that you got it all, that you've done it all. How do they say, done this? been there, right? You have to have something which is mysterious.
Less is more.
Sorry?
Less is more.
Less is more. And that's part of the idea of tzniut, part of the idea of dressing modestly, especially outside of the house, is part of the idea that it, the lack of knowledge is part of the hagdala, is part of the greatness of the pleasure.
It increases the anticipation and the imagination.
Right, right. Aval halohi, and here Rav Kook is going to take us in a very interesting direction. Maybe I'll already say it. A lot of times we learn and we teach, and Rav Kook more than any other rabbi of the last century talks about ta'amei ha-mitzvot, offering very nice, beautiful explanations, moral explanations, philosophical explanations, economic health advantages, right? And anybody who's learned Sefer HaChinuch or Chelek Gimel of the God for the Perplexed, Afikim Banegev of Rav Kook is unbelievable. Where he gives modern advantages of even those mitzvot, which are considered chukim, which are considered understandable. Nevertheless, here Rav Kook shows us the other side of the coin. It's not a coincidence that God doesn't reveal everything. It would not be good for us to think, let me put it this way, I wouldn't want to believe in a God that I totally understand, right? I wouldn't want to follow mitzvot which I totally understand. I wouldn't want to live in a world which I totally understand. And that's why what Rav Kook is giving an original explanation why there have to be question marks in the world. And there are a lot of big question marks. And the older we get, and the more history we learn, and the more we thought we understood, just like mankind got to modernism, he thought he understands the world, Hashem shrinks us down to size and reminds us it's in our betterment to have that mystery. There are certain things that you don't know. There are certain parts of a woman's body that you shouldn't see. And it's in your betterment not to see. I spoke to a group of kids recently about the problem of pornography. And I told them in all honesty, when I was in high school, I think I saw like a dirty magazines twice. And those pictures I still remember to this day. There are some things that you cannot erase from your hard disk. And even though I regret it, and I want to erase it, there are certain things that you can't erase. And that's, again, part of what Rav Chisda is teaching his daughters, and that's part of the pleasure that God is giving us in the world, that there are things that we don't understand. Mystery is good for you. Aval halo eifshar klal shelo tiyah hafnaya harashit b'chol pu'lot hachayim uklal hatshuka. Just to clarify what I said in the previous sentence, just to spell it out. So sometimes it's good to spell things out in black and white. There are certain parts of a woman's body that you should not see. And it's in your better interest not to see it. And even if you might not understand it, at the age of 17, the halacha tells you it's in your better interest. Aval halo e efshar klal, shelo tiya hafnaya hapniya harashit b'chol pu'lot hachayim, uklal hatshuka shel hachayim ne'utza ki im b'yesod hatachlit, b'tshuka shel aliyah yoter gvoha. Here Rav Kook is giving us, as he always does, the other side of the coin. We've got a paradox here. Because on the one hand, you have to have a goal to which you are striving. Right? Now, if we're told that you can't understand the next stage and you can't know it, so what are we supposed to strive for? Right? Bichlal, you have to know whether you're going to strive in this direction or in that direction. Where's the next step? Okay, I'm at this point. Should I be going in this direction or should I be going? You have to have a general direction. Now, the general direction, the Torah and the Mitzvot does give us. But to get a total understanding of where you're going, that's the other side of the coin. Again, Rav Kook, it's a paradox, right? yes, you do have to know and have your eye on the next step. Dream. Have that eternal love that we spoke about last time. But also, keep it mysterious. Have it know that you can't even understand what that next pleasure is going to be. Alken.
Isn't there not a danger of disappointment? As in, sometimes when somebody, a person, doesn't know what exactly that is, they know they're aspiring to something, they're trying to get there, and they build it up in their mind that it's going to be such an amazing, incredible thing, and they can get there.
It's anticlimactic.
Right.
Well, that we're not talking about that, because we're talking about real,
right.
Definite...
I don't mean in terms of
higher levels,
because yeah. Clearly that's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
But if we're talking in terms of steps and direction in this life, it could be that someone builds up the next step to be much, much greater than it is. Maybe what he was thinking was actually 10 steps ahead, and he just gets the next step and goes, wow, that's it?
There is that possibility, but, and maybe like between the lines, Rav Kook is also referring to that problem as well. But he's saying that maybe that is also an advantage of not knowing exactly where you are. Because what you're referring to when we're talking about the improvement is a certain step that you might not realize now how great it really is. Right? There is that 10 steps later. And there are different types of mystery and the advantages of the mystery. Okay. Hama'alah tziyurit hayoter shlema hi she'adam ra'oi liyot b'masav b'chayim kulo eved Hashem. If so, what is one of the pleasures of this world? The ideal in this world is to be eved Hashem, to serve God. What is a servant? A servant doesn't ask why, right? He does what the master tells him to do. And that lack of understanding is an advantage that we have in this world. In the world to come, where we understand God and we understand the mitzvot and we understand all the ideals, that is, again, obviously a good, important type of pleasure, right? But there is the advantage of this world, again, of what? Of being an eved, of not knowing what the next step is, not of knowing that you can't understand. Hainu mishtokek elatov shel tachlita hitalut. Lo kefi oto atziur sheyuchal leikanes betziuro, ke eich efshar leikanes betziur shelo ala velo nishlam. Erech shel hitalut nishlemet she'en keitz la le'erkeno. How can you begin to understand something that you can't begin to understand? Al ken, hama'ala hayoter el yunahi, the highest level, liyot noseta ol shel avodat Hashem. The highest level that a person can achieve in this world is that he does the mitzvot not because, I feel the satisfaction, which is true. Not because I understand the ideal, which could be true. But not because I am in the center and gaining something from it. But that God and the ideals are so much in the center that my understanding is totally secondary or tertiary. Right? In other words, Rav Kook is not contradicting all those articles that we learned where he says, yes, there is benefits and there is pleasure and there is greatness in the mitzvot and we can understand a lot of it, etc. But what he's saying is that there is an advantage in taking the other approach as well, of avodat eved, of knowing that you're a servant, knowing that you don't understand, knowing that sometimes you can't even ask, right? Knowing that sometimes you'll only understand when you're older, when you're 121, right? And when you're in the next world. And this is a type of pleasure which David HaMelech is talking about, of the advantage of being in this world, which is to a certain extent even greater than the world to come.
So when does a person come to that realization? Because it's such an important aspect of accepting things that happen in this world, that people that so many things go wrong in their life, and if they have this positive outlook and they see it in that way, it would help them so much to get through every day. But people don't see it that way. How's the what you said now about seeing ourselves as an avid, is that subconsciously that we're in a situation that hopefully one day we'll not become an avid, or our conditions will improve? Is that the
both
direction that Ralph Cook said?
Both. In other words, it's good that we have a taste of the world, the spiritual world in this world. Remember the Hungarian wine? Right? We spoke about Rav Nachman and the...
I repeat it.
Just in a nutshell. Of Rav Nachman in Breslov gives... I know you're on vacation from Rav Dovi, but right, he mentions Breslov a lot. Yeah. There's a Rav Nachman in Breslov gives the mashal of a guy who's... dying for Hungarian wine. Everyone's always praising this Hungarian wine. He saves up his money, and he finally goes to the Kretschmer, and he lays out all of his pennies, and he says, "Oh, I saved up for a year. Please give me a glass, a small glass of Hungarian wine. I've heard so much about it." And the guy tells him, "You're right, you're not going to be disappointed." And he pours him a small glass of Hungarian wine, and he makes a bracha, and he drinks it, and he is in seventh heaven. And for the rest of his life, he never again was able to afford another kosit of Hungarian wine. But he always went around saying that once you taste Hungarian wine, you know that all the other wine is eloze. And it's a certain type of pleasure. It's a pleasure which is hidden, but it's good that you did taste it once. Right? You catch the mashal. Yeah. In other words, there is an advantage in what, and that's basically what this world is about. That's what Torah is about. That's what Tamei HaMitzvot are about. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does open the door between the world to come and the world in this world. He opens the door that we can feel the energy. It's like the Ramchal explains on Olam HaZeh Domeh LeProzdor V'Olam HaBa Domeh LeTraklin. That Chazal said in Pirkei Avot, that this world is like a hallway, a passageway, an entranceway, and the world to come, that's the ballroom. And it's like when you go to a wedding, as soon as you enter the lobby, and not just talk about when you hear the band, right? You feel the energy, right? And that's because the door is open. There are openings. The same thing, even though that the real, the epitome of pleasure, the real Hungarian wine is really going to be in the world to come. But we do have tastes of it. We have spurts of it. Sometimes when you have a great davening in Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur, you have a great tefillah. You know, when we were davening for the three boys who were kidnapped, or in Gush Katif, anybody was there. We had so many great tefillot. It's chaval that we didn't get the answer that we wanted. But you can't deny anybody who davened well that there was something there, right? There is something in davening well. There is that Hungarian wine that even if you just taste it once in your life, you know that it's there. Okay, so the answer is both. Yeah, it is good to taste a certain amount of that spiritual understanding and godliness in this world, but to know that is just a spark of the real energy, the real ideals that we're going to have in the world to come. That's a very good question. But, that's the answer. Okay. Umnam, b'matzav shayit alut nifseket bo, when your hit alut, your improvement, at that moment when you stop where you are, and there was notice where I am at this minute, af sheyesh daya utshuka, even though you know that there's a higher level, right? Aval himit komemet b'merkaz ha-matzav ha-nimtza, but you personally are, today we would say mimukemet, you are located somewhere in the way, on the middle. En kan ol v'avdut, ki im chofesh u'netiya l'oto hatov shemetzayir v'shemesig. The more you understand the next madriga, you're lacking the tmimut, the naivety, and the advantage of the avodat eved, of being a simple servant, of, again, putting the ideals and putting God in the focus and putting me and my ideals and my understanding and my benefits as secondary. Al ken yikarahi ma'od midat ha'italut she'efsharit rak b'chayim mimidat ha'metziyut shel ha'matzav ha'yoter me'ula shel ha'nefesh ha'ruchanit ha'mufshetet min ha'guf מפני שבמצב ההתעלות יש מציאות לנעיצת יסוד התמצית של הנטיות לעבודת עבד להשם. אדון כל המעשים, הטוב ומיטיב, באין קץ. The idea of, here Rav Kook is giving an interesting take on the advantage of blind faith, of blindly following the mitzvot, even those mitzvot which we don't understand. Because again, it's the advantage of the mystery. It's the advantage in knowing that you don't know. It's the advantage of freezing, even temporarily, your free will, that you have so much free will that you can freeze your free will. Rav Kook puts it nicely in Korech, in Olatria. By the way, I'm summarizing what he's going to say when I finish up, and we're not going to get it. We're gonna, not going to see it in the end. I'm alluding to an idea which he says a couple lines later. In his commentary on the Haggadah of Pesach, on Amud Resh Peitet, that's 289, Rav Kook talks about Maror and Korech. What is Korech about? Korech is that we take the matzah, which symbolizes a freedom, right? And the maror, which symbolizes bitterness, and we make a sandwich together. And it shows that part of freedom is to be willing to have that discipline, to accept the discipline, to accept the bitterness, right? That we make a sandwich because bitterness and freedom, they don't contradict. Right, that was the question that we asked at the beginning, right? Most of the free world believes that freedom is totally good. And in general, it is good. But, as Rav Kook explains in his commentary on the Haggadah, you got to be wary of anarchy. Freedom can lead to anarchy.
Unbridled freedom is anarchy.
Right. Unbridled freedom is anarchy. And that's why we need Pesach. Davka on the holiday when we celebrate our freedom, we taste the bitter herbs. And here, I'll let Rav Kook menaseh here, he says it nicely. She'az yimtza ha'adam b'nafsho ha'shilton ha'gamur. When a person is in such a complete control, ha'ra'ui leben chorin be'emet, which is truly deserving of a true free man. He's so much in control. He has so much free will. Hamoshel gamken ala gadol shebekochot, shukoach hachirut atzmo. He is so independent that he's even independent to be in charge of his independence. He can, what's called in Kabbalah, mitzamtzem. He can do tzimtzum, just like God, as if it were limits himself in the Beit HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, in this world, right? That's the secret in Kabbalah of Tzimtzum, of God limiting himself, as if it were. So too man, in our she'ifa, in our striving to be godly, we need to be able to be so free that we are willing to forego our free will to be slaves. Slaves by choice. Rav Kook mentions here, the Ahavti et Adoni. Lo etzei chofshi. Remember the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim, where the slave says, I love my master. I prefer being a slave in his house rather than going free. Well, for us, in a democracy, it's hard to understand how that could be. But it's there in the Torah. If a master is so good and so perfect, then a slave wants to be with that master. And that is part of the pleasure. And again, I don't want to make the mistake of focusing on my pleasure of being an eved, because that's the opposite of what we're saying. Nevertheless, there is that advantage of being avodat eved, of being a slave, of not knowing everything, of not understanding everything, and that explains a lot of the whys and why there have to be questions, why it's in our benefit for there to be questions in this world. And that is one of the advantages that Rav Kook is saying regarding this world as opposed to the world to come. In the world to come, we're going to understand everything. But there's a little disadvantage in that. And that's one of the reasons why we have this world, that mystery. What do you want to say?